We've had a number of people to give their heart to God. The Lord, when Peter went to the household of Cornelius, he got up and preached about Jesus, and they accepted him sitting there like you are. They were not only saved, but God saved them in a very few minutes and filled them with the Holy Ghost in the dispensation of the church, New Testament, meaning that that same thing is for us today. Now, what do you have to do to be saved? You have to reach a place in your heart that you're sorry for your sins, and you'll raise your hand and ask God to forgive you, and you'll say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll come to pass that whoever calls on his name shall be saved. God's willing to do it. I feel impressed to ask this. If Jesus should come before dinner, how many are not exactly ready? We're going to take communion, and that does so much. It's not a ritual. He said these things actually take place every time you take communion. And my friend, God would never let his son down and fail to do in you what God promised to do when you take communion. But one thing he did say, don't take it unless you're worthy. If your sins are not under the blood, if you take it, you take it damnation to your soul. For you are guilty of the blood and of the body of Jesus Christ if you take it with sin in your life. You don't have to do that. You've got a mouth, you've got a brain. You can ask God to forgive you. You can mean it. But we must not take it unworthy. That's one thing that grieves God's heart. Come in just like a ritual, take it, and not be serving God. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be living ready to go to heaven when we take communion. And I want to see how many here, just before we take communion, you'll say, Brother Hibbard, I'm not sure. And I'll say this because I've been preaching on these things and I'm fresh on it and I know it. If you should die right now with a heart attack and your name is not in the book of life, you'd go straight to hell. How many believe the Bible backs that up? I don't care what you think or say, you'd go straight to hell. And hell is hell. It's hot and never it comes to an end. You get in there and never can get out. You all want to get out. People that are there now want to get out, but they can't. There's a time they could have escaped it. But now before we take communion, you can have your name put in the book of life just that quick. Because when you're ready, God's ready. In the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And if you will raise your hand and say, Brother Everett, I want to take communion, but I'm not sure that I'm ready. I want God to apply his blood to my heart. I want to surrender my life to Jesus, and I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be lost. We have been praying around the clock because there's a constant bunch of letters coming in, individuals that have pledged, and it started off with 250 hours of prayer around the clock. Many more have gathered in. Many that are not here this morning are promised, and many of our members that call in say, Brother Everett, I can't go. They're too old. They can't come. But they're remembering the prayer chain, and they're praying around the clock. And we've been praying for God to stir people, bring them in. And if you're moved such as you've never been moved before, there's a reason for it, because there is a thrust of prayer. And it said, seek the Lord while I may be found, and call upon him while he is near. How many this morning in the balcony or the lower floor will say, Brother Hibbert, I'm not sure that if I would die, that I would be ready. And I want to take communion this morning, and I want to take it without condemnation. And I want to raise my hand and put it back down again. And I want this congregation to raise their hand and pray for me right now, that everything that stands between God and my soul will be put under the blood, for there's a fountain filled with blood, and it was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And he says in Zechariah, God will open unto you a fountain in the house of David for sin and all uncleanness. And I'm so glad that all you've got to do is ask God and mean it, and God will do that. I want you to bow your head in a word of prayer right now. Will you do it? Bow your head, everyone. And I want to speak right now to those that may want God to do something for you. Heavenly Father, I've stood behind this pulpit, and you'll back up every word I said because you're God. You've laid this on my heart, and I pray right this second, if they can't feel that if they'd die and they would stand before God with their life as it is, and it'd be opened up in judgment, and we're going to be judged according to the deeds that are done in the body, whether good or bad. And if they their evil deeds haven't been repented of and forgiven and put under the blood, it'll stand before them and sin cannot get into heaven. You cast the devil out that sinned, and you cast the angels out that sinned, and you'll not let sin get back in. It's got to be dealt with. And you dealt with their sin on the cross of Calvary. You died screaming out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When you died on the cross, you died for the sins of the whole world. And right now, Lord, there's no need of them being lost, because you're the Savior, and it'll come to pass that when whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Speak to right now to individuals in Jesus' precious name with your head bowed. I want to see how many under the balcony, under the arches below. We'll put your hand up and then put it back down again and say, "Brother Hibbert, I need prayer this morning, and I want you to pray for them." Put your hand up. God bless you. I see them. I see them. There must be about 40 right there over on my left. Put your hand up over here. All right. God bless you. You don't have to put your hand up. You're there. You can do what you want to. If you feel you're right, or you don't want to take communion, you don't want to change, then God's right with you. He said, "He that's holy, let him be holy. He that's filthy, let him be filthy." In other words, don't force anybody. But brother, the gate's open. Now's the only time to get ready to go to heaven. I'm talking about the balcony now. If you're in the balcony and you want to take communion, you want to go to heaven, you want your sins forgiven, you want them blotted out right now as we get ready to pray in a few minutes, you want to raise your hand and you want God to see it, put your hand up. All right, God bless you. I see it. I see it. Yes, I see it. See it. Yes. Over here. Over there. I see it. All right. I see that. Now, I want to see in the main auditorium right out here in the lower floor. There's several raising their hands already. How many will put your hand up over the place? All right. I suppose here there's about 40, 50 here in the lower part. It was about 100, I suppose, under the arches, a number up in the balcony. I want to stand to our feet right now. Stand to your feet, everybody. I want them to get ready to throw this on the screen. I'm going to show you this, and then we're going to pray. The Bible said, "Where two on earth are agreed is in touching a thing, it'll be done." How many standing on your feet right now? You're saved, you're filled with the Spirit, you know how to pray. If you've raised your hand and you want God to move any sin out of your life, how many believe of all the million things God can do, the one He'd rather do than anything in the world is to forgive you and to blot it out? You don't need to let the devil tell you that God won't do it. I want you to throw that on the screen. I want you to look and see what this is now. I want you to look at this. You know what this is? This is a yoke. And let me show you what a yoke is for. Just take it off and put the oxen on there, will you? All right. I want you to do this while you're standing. You see this? This is a scene back in Bible days, and even in Georgia now, in Kentucky and Arkansas, you can still see this. In Bible days, they didn't have any kind of tractor. They didn't have everybody plowed with a mule or a donkey. But most everybody, every farmer and everybody, every other house was a farmer, they all use oxens. And they would yoke them together. And this is called a yoke here. It goes around the neck of this ox, and it goes around the neck of that, and they're locked together. If one goes north, you know where the other one's going. One's named Ned and one's Kate. Wherever Ned goes, Kate goes. Why? They yoke together. One goes north. One said, "I believe we'll go south." Said, "Well, okay, we go south, because where you go, I go." All right, put the other one on now. Put that other one back on. Yeah, put this on and then put the other one on there. I'm going to show you. I want to show you what a yoke is here. You see this right here? It says Christ. You see what this says right here? You know what that says? That says man. That says Christ. All right. It means woman. Man or woman, yes. All right, cut it off. Now you can take the thing down, and I want to pray. I told you about it now, and I can quote it to you. Jesus came out of the grave, and we're going to pray for these. When you get to these, say, "When are you going to preach?" I've already preached. I'm just giving an altar call now. I've been praying. We've been praying all week. We've been praying for 9 weeks around the clock. And brother, I've been getting up every morning too, and putting my hour in from 2 to 3. And God's been laying some things on my heart. God is ready to save, and he's ready to let you alone if you want him to let you alone. And don't you think God can't do it? How many believe that's in the book? He said they were hardened, and they were past feeling, and we need to move when God moves. Now, this thing, God laid this on my heart to show you that I've just showed you. How many believe it is in Matthew 11:28 is what you have just seen, and I'll quote it to you. Jesus came out of the grave, and God raised him from the dead, and everything he said while he is alive, God sanctioned it when he raised him from the dead. And how many believe when he said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now, you know, that's something a lot of people don't have today. They're on sedatives and everything else trying to get it, but we need rest. How many appreciate the rest that God alone can give you? "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden." Brother, when trouble's running out your ears, you're laboring and you're heavy laden. You got a load on you can't hardly carry. Jesus Christ is the only one could say it. Anybody else would say it, be a raving maniac. Nobody on earth ever lived could say that. To think he said to the whole world, to every generation, to every human being, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Anybody would say that and have to have power to back it up. But he said, "I've got all power in heaven and in earth. I've left an empty tomb behind. I'm sitting at the right hand of God the Father." And God said, "Hear my son." And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And here's what he said. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." He said, "I've got a yoke for every individual that comes to me." What is a yoke? Everybody that heard that sound, they knew what a yoke was, because if they walked down this way, every other house, they'd see a farmer out there with a couple of oxen with a yoke around their neck, and this old oxen is going here and that one. And when they'd go forward, funny, one of them never stand still and the other moved. One would never back up and the other go forward. Whenever they went forward, they both went forward. When they went to the right, they both went to the right. When they went to the left, they both went to the left. When they went north, they all went north. South, they both went south. West, wherever one went, the other went. They were locked together by a yoke, and brother, they were joined together. God uses that same word in Corinthians with people marrying. "Be not unequally yoked." When you come up and get together and you yoke up with a woman, you're married to her and you're supposed to be yoked. But you know what he said? He said, "Take my yoke upon you." What does it mean? "I've got it around my neck. Slap it around yours. Lock it. And then we're sealed by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost turns the seal and said, "Devil, try to take that yoke off." The devil come along and say, "I'll get you." Say, it's a kind of a deal, Satan, if you don't mind. When you get me, you get him. You see who's on the other end of this yoke? Ha! Jesus. He said, "I will what? I will go with you." He didn't say, "I'll be for you. Go on, do the best you can." It said they went forth, the Lord working with them. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That means if you go north, we both go north. When we turn around and go south, we both go south. And if I stop, you stop. If I back up, you back up. Thank God, take my yoke upon you, and I changed my way of living 1,900 years ago. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many is ready right now? When Jesus puts the yoke around you, you can tell the devil tomorrow, "I don't care how the economy goes, if the gold goes up or hits the bottom, and if this thing crashes, no matter what comes or goes, I'm connected with somebody that has all power in heaven and in earth, and I believe it." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." How many right now? We'll put your hand up that raised it a while ago. And as we put our hand up, I want you to say this: "Lord, forgive me of everything I've ever done. Come into my heart now. Put your yoke upon me." And he said, "Come unto me." Not to children, not to church. You're coming to Jesus now. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest to your soul." You can eat three meals a day then. Throw your tranquilizers away. Throw them away. You shall have rest unto your soul. I want everybody's hand to go up right now.
Lord thy God in thy midst is mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to encourage, mighty to strengthen, here to meet your every need. Then reach out and take by faith the thing that the Lord thy God hath given thee in promises in his word, and let them become realities in thy life as thou dost appropriate them and say, thank you, Jesus, it's mine.
That wasn't man. That was directly from heaven. Give the Lord a hand clap right now. I don't want anybody to get nervous and think, boy, what have I got myself into? I'm here in this church and all this is going on. It might get on me. Relax, honey. Before you ever get what we're talking about, you've got to call it by name and want it more than anything you ever wanted in all your life. For in the day that you seek me with a whole heart, I'll be found of you. You couldn't hogtie God and let him get near you. It said if you're thirsty, come. But don't be coming to drink if you're not thirsty. If you don't want something, sit there. He's not going to come near you. But oh, when the faintest cry goes out, Lord, I want you. The forces of hell has to be abated. The powers of sin is broken. Jesus sets you free. And the one that the death could not hold, the grave could not seal him in, but he came forth and kept his word. He ascended and is sitting at the right hand of God. I want you.
Let the weak say, I'm strong. The discouraged to say, I'm encouraged in the Lord. And let those that are fearful say, there remaineth therefore a rest for the children of God, and I shall not fear. I shall not be awakened with sudden fear. I shall not be frustrated because of things, because my trust, my hope is in the Lord God, the Eternal One, who has all power in heaven and in earth. And my confidence is that by God's grace, I shall not be moved.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. While everyone stands, just before we take communion, and it's 12:05, I won't, so you will make it easy for the great number. There must be 200 or 300 that lifted their hand. They're not sure. They want God to forgive and take everything out of the way and be sure that this question is settled. I want all of you to just do what I tell you. Those that lifted your hand, and others that are already saved, I want you to just put your hand up. And as I speak, I want you to repeat right after me every word I say. And it'll make it easy for all those out there. And if you say it and mean it, there's not a doubt in my mind. God's going to answer your prayer. God's going to put a yoke on you. And he's going to be on the other end. Thank God. That means I'll connect myself with you. And you've got a safety there. We're kept by the power of God. I want you to just look to God. Put your hand up right now. Close your eyes and repeat, dear Lord Jesus, we love you. We come to you now. We want every sin that we've ever committed to be blotted out. Forgive us of every wrong we've ever committed, every evil word, every evil deed. May it be blotted out and put under the blood. and forget it, never to be remembered against me. Right now, come in my heart. I invite you to come in. Jesus, take over. I trust you as my Savior and as my Redeemer. Now, I want you to place the yoke upon me according to your word. Put thy peace within my heart and give me strength from this moment to rise above temptation. I declare my spirit, soul, and body into your hand. You're able to keep that which is committed unto thee. Right now, I praise you for it. You have forgiven me. You have blotted it out. You've come into my life. My name is in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You may be seated. And now as the ushers pass the pan, come right on. And then hold it in your hand. You have a perfect right to take communion. If you stood and prayed, and I don't want you to take communion, hold the bread and hold the little cup in your hand until everyone has been served, and then we'll pray together. We do not believe in close communion. If you're a Christian and you've prayed, you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, you have a perfect right to take communion now. Orchestra served. We'll wait until they get served. Jesus spoke in his word, and he said, when you take communion, by this you abide in me, and I abide in you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, as we take these and pray over them and we eat it, he said to the bread, this bread is my body that is broken for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. As often as you do it, you show forth my death until I come. But by this you abide in me and I abide in you. With a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth he opens up and confesses, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you raised your hand and asked God to forgive you, he did. You may doubt, but God can't. If we doubt, he abideth faithful. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. And the very fact there is a God, that's the assurance you have that your sins are forgiven when you ask him. Now, when you take communion, there is no way under heaven he can keep from doing what he said. You take communion by faith, and by this you abide in me and I abide in you. And then Jesus is with you. Thank God, you don't need to worry about what'll happen on the outside world. Jesus is inside. Make up your mind you're going to spend a time and give a certain amount of time to Jesus every day this next week. You must feed the inner man. You must take your Bible and read it. We're going to look to God now as everyone has been served, and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you said in thy word that many are sick because they didn't discern the Lord's body. Had they discerned it and taken communion, they'd have been healed. There is healing and there is strength in taking the communion. And, O God, we pray now as we honor thy shed blood, and we pray thy blessings upon everyone that has lifted their hand and they needed deliverance, and you've answered prayer. You didn't turn a deaf ear to one, for you said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, but you'll take them in. You'll answer their prayer. And I pray to carry out thy will as they take communion. Bless this and pronounce thy blessing upon it. Make it what you said it would be. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Never are you so close to God as when you've taken communion. It's 4 minutes after 12. I shall sing a verse of the song that goes along with my little illustrated message of the yoke. A verse of it, and then we'll be dismissed. Let me follow you, Jesus. Well, he found me when I was so lonely. Well, he found me when I was so blue. Well, he found me when no one would have me. And there was nothing this whole world could do. Listen to this now. Oh, but let me follow you, Jesus. Never leave me alone. Stay close by my side, blessed Savior, until I've made heaven my home. Well, I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low. But never one time has he failed me. When unto him with my troubles I go. Listen now. So let me follow you, Jesus, and never leave me alone. Walk close by my side, blessed Savior, until I've made heaven my home. Until I've made heaven my home. How many are glad he's walking by your side? Let me see your hand. Let's stand together, and we're going to ask God's blessing. And don't forget, be sure to be here tonight for the evangelistic service. I'll be speaking at 6 o'clock. I want you to come, bring your folk with you, and we're going to take time for those that need deliverance. We're going to pray for you. If you come with an affliction, God can heal you as he has many others this past week. Father, we pray that you'd bless your children. We thank you for answering prayer. We thank you for placing the yoke, because you've never turned one down. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. Let them go out of this place knowing that what you've said, that God will back it up. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Keep us and bring us back. And God bless the telecast from 2 to 2:30. And bring us back tonight for a glorious time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.